rubber's going to hit the road now, and the devil doesn't like it. Amen. There has been more resistance in my life this week and right around here this week than I have felt in a long time. And I don't think it's a coincidence. I believe it's by design. The devil does not want us to get to what we're going to get to right here tonight. We've had problems. My computer's been crashing. I emailed them my PowerPoint. We couldn't get the email to open. We've been running around trying to get things to go. And, you know, just seemed like everything that could go wrong has been going wrong. So I won't be surprised if we have more glitches. But you know what? It doesn't matter. The devil's defeated. We're made more than overcomers through Christ Jesus. And we are going to get through this class and this lesson. And most likely we may cover this a second time because we knew tonight with the weather being like it is, a lot of people wouldn't be here. And we want to make sure everybody gets hold of this. The topic tonight, lesson 9, as I told you a couple of weeks ago, when we got to lesson 9, it would take 2 or 3 weeks to cover it because what lesson 9 is practical tools and methods of witnessing. Well, there's many different methods out there, and we wouldn't have time to cover all of them, but we're going to cover some of the easier ones and some of the ones that seem to be the most effective. Amen. The first one I wanted to cover is one I really enjoy and have used myself, and that really set me free 5 or 6 years ago when I went through this training, because what it does is it takes the pressure off of me. How many of you have hesitated to witness because you were afraid of rejection? What if they say no? Well, this teaching tonight, if you get hold of it and if you understand it, you're going to see and you're going to understand when you leave here, the rejection is not of you and the pressure is not on you. And I don't want to get ahead of myself, but the name of this method is called Are You 100% Sure? And it's a very simple. Let's go ahead and pass out the notes. Everybody's going to get 3 sheets. I pray we have enough. It's a very simple method of witnessing, and it is based on Scripture. Everything has to be based on Scripture, or it should be, or we shouldn't do it. And the basic or the foundational Scripture is 1 John 5:13 that says, "These things I have written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, in order that you may know that you have eternal life." So we can know that we have eternal life. Amen?
Amen.
A person can know if they're ready or not. They can know if they're going to heaven or not. Amen? Is there anybody here who's unsure of their salvation tonight? Because you can know. And if you're unsure, we want to get you sure.
Amen?
Amen. If a truck runs over you, you would know it, right?
Yep.
If you've been touched by the Son of the living God, you'd know it.
Amen.
If you received and submitted yourself to the Lordship of Jesus Christ, you would know it. Amen?
Amen.
So we can know. And so the purpose of Are You 100% Sure is a simple method of evangelism. As I said, tonight, this is where the rubber meets the road. The devil doesn't care if we sat in here for 6 more months and just talked about the harvest. And talked about it's God's plan and it's God's will and yay, you know, hoorah, we're harvesters and God's promised us the harvest. Because we can do that and we need to do that and we have done that. But there comes a time where we need to get some things in gear and we start doing stuff. And that's what this is about tonight, is putting in your hands some practical tools. A lot of people don't witness because they just don't know how. They need to be told, here's what you do. How do I do this? Well, what do I say now? And that kind of thing. And so I think the devil's pretty nervous about you getting some of these tools, especially those of you who are going to run. And I know some of you are going to run with this like lightning. I couldn't think of a good analogy there. Some of you older folks could probably come up with a good one. But anyway, let's get to this. Like lightning? Like the wind? Okay. This is under purpose. Are you 100% sure is a simple method of evangelism designed so that the lost can hear, and this is important, an uncomplicated and non-confrontational message of salvation and have an opportunity to accept Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. There are some very confrontational styles of evangelism out there, and there's a time for that if you're anointed for that.
Yeah.
A lot of people aren't really anointed for that, and if you aren't, you do more harm than good, because what you end up doing is bruising the fruit. And we'll talk about that later on. This method is designed to produce or to present an uncomplicated, say uncomplicated.
Uncomplicated.
That means very simple. It keeps it so simple, you have to have help to miss it. And we're not going to help them miss it. We're going to help them get it. So it's a very simple message of the gospel. Not only is it uncomplicated, but it's also non-confrontational. Okay? There's no pressure. You're not pushy. You're not pressuring them to make a decision. None of that. All right, does it work? Well, here's some statistics. In 1 year, people who use this Are You 100% Sure and reported back their results to the ministry that started this technique, over 120,000 people prayed to accept Jesus Christ as their Lord for the very first time. That's an average of 328 people a day. Students in schools led in excess of 100 people to the Lord in their schools, students and teachers. And then they also used this. They had a group of people that went down South Texas State Fair and used this tool. And that one day won 1,298 people to the Lord Jesus in one day. A group from a local church just mulling around through the state fair, the South Texas State Fair. They told us that not only did they see immediate results, but also their statistics show that over the past 2 years, they've seen a retention rate of over 47%. What do I mean by retention rate? They stayed saved. They stayed in the Word. They stayed in church. They're still serving God. They didn't go back into sin and go back into the world. Okay? That's important. So, why does it work? It works because it's very easy for Christians to use with confidence. This method will build your confidence as you start using it. At least it did mine. And that was the main thing I was lacking when it came to street evangelism and witnessing one-on-one with people was lacking confidence. It presents the message of Christ in a very simple method that the unchurched can understand. And that's important, and that's something we need to really work on, that we don't use our Christianese. We don't use our churchy slogans and our churchy words that people have not the foggiest idea what we're talking about, because they're unlearned to church things and spiritual things. So we want to keep it simple. It's designed to take the lost, and this is the main thing. It's designed to take the lost from where they are to a place of prayer. From start to finish, from start, no matter where they are in their life, by the time you finish, they're ready to pray. And that's the goal, to get them to pray, to get them from where they are to a place of prayer. It's a very simple method and can be learned in one training session, which is tonight. You don't have to go to 14 classes to get it. You're going to get it all tonight, one session. And you can begin to use it immediately. On your way home, you may get to use it. Tomorrow, you can begin to use it. It's not a program that the church takes on for a day or special occasion, but rather it's a way of life that the congregation begins to live. Amen. Because Jesus, after all, did command us to be witnesses. Yes, amen? Amen. And it gives the congregation a clear understanding and a new way to view evangelism. You will learn true success in evangelism, and the pressure is now taken off of you. All right, page 2 on your notes. I'm going to go through this pretty quick so we can get down to the nuts and bolts. Evangelism is really easy when you understand it. First of all, God sent his only son, not his extra son, his only son to the world. Jesus came and he died on the mission field. The very ones he came to save killed him. And all he's asked us to do is tell others. All he's asked us to do is tell others the good news. Amen? Secondly, as Christians, we are not responsible. Two, we're not responsible to save people, nor are we able to save them. You're not responsible to save them. You're not able to save them. Only the Holy Spirit can draw men to accept the Lord Jesus Christ. We are responsible to tell them, to share with them, and to give them opportunity. That's our responsibility, is to give them opportunity. Not to convince them. Not to convict them. Remember, when we try to convict people of their sins and their wrongdoing, it becomes condemnation. Only the Holy Spirit can bring conviction. So it's not our place. He didn't call us to clean the fish. We're just to catch them. Amen. We're fishers of men. So we're catching them. All right. So it's our responsibility to tell them, to share with them, and to give them opportunity to make a decision. It's our responsibility to bring them to a place of decision making, to bring them to the place that they have to choose and they realize they have to choose. In reality, what we're doing is simply awakening the command of God for all men to repent. I believe on the inside of every man, that command is there. It just needs to be awakened. It needs to be touched. It needs to be stirred. It needs to be poked. It needs to be, you know, fan the flame, so to speak. When we stir that thing up on the inside of them, it's going to evoke different responses and reactions from different people. Don't be moved by their reaction or their response. Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter if it's good. Doesn't matter if it's bad. It matters that you stirred it.
That's right.
It just matters that you gave them opportunity. Whether their response is positive or negative, it doesn't matter at that moment. God's just calling us to give them opportunity. And if you gave them opportunity, as far as God's concerned, you knocked it out of the ballpark. Amen. Doesn't matter what they did. You did what you were supposed to do. Do you understand that?
Yeah.
We'll talk a little bit more about that in just a second. All right, the next paragraph. We've measured success in evangelism using a corrupted or a worldly measuring standard. In the world, you measure success in sales by the number of sales you have out of a certain number of presentations. If you sell 5 out of 10 of them, then you have a 50% success rate. That is true and accurate measurement in the world. But in evangelism, it's different. You see, we're called to give opportunity to the lost. The only way we as Christians will not be successful and pleasing to God is if we don't give these opportunities to the unbelievers. The truth is, every time you give someone an opportunity to meet Jesus, you've been successful. Regardless of the outcome, if you gave them opportunity, you were successful. So how many times can we be successful? Every time. 100% of the time, you are a successful witness if you gave them an opportunity. The only time you're unsuccessful is if you neglect to give the opportunity. If you hold your tongue and you don't say anything and you don't give them the opportunity. Now, doesn't that take the pressure off? I'm not responsible for their decision and how they respond. I'm just responsible to give them the opportunity. And if I can do that, can you do that? Can you give them the opportunity? Sure. So this means we are successful every time we give an opportunity. It's important to take the pressure off of yourself. If your goal is to be obedient to the word and to please God, then you succeed every time you give an opportunity. Now keep that in mind and understand the importance of giving those individuals a pleasant experience in talking with you. This is very key. And I apologize for reading to you. I'm not insulting your intelligence, but I just want to get through this. But I want you to get some important stuff here. It's important that we as Christians do not become confrontational or think that we must win an argument or that we must prove our point.
Amen.
Okay? It's hard to see someone reject the love of God and not want to just continue on and make them understand what they're missing. But when you do this, you're putting the pressure on yourself again, and many times you are alienating them and hardening them to any future attempts for someone to share Jesus. The best way to explain this is like this. You're bruising the fruit. It is ready to be harvested. Please don't bruise the fruit. Even if they have no desire to hear about God, just let them have a pleasant experience dealing with you. Plant the seed or water the seed and just pray that God will send someone by at the right time to bring in the harvest. You may not be the one that gets to reel that one in. See, it takes all kinds of people, right? How many of you know that in this room are all kinds of people? And although people are people, there's still various kinds of people and different types of personalities, and people can connect with different kinds of people. And some people will never connect with me, but they might connect with you. And so if they won't connect with me in a way that I can reel them in, I can still just have a pleasant experience with them, sow the seed, plant the word, enjoy their time, enjoy my time with them, and make them enjoy me. Why alienate them and harden their heart to the next person that's going to come along? See? And so don't take it personally if they reject the message right off and they're like, I don't want to hear this God stuff and don't talk to me about church and blah, blah. Then stop, you know. When you see the color red, stop. Whether you're driving a car or you're in a conversation, red always means stop. Don't press it any further. Don't press the issue. Don't try to convince them. Don't start telling them what a bad decision they're making and they're a fool if they reject God, because only the fool has said in his heart there's no God. You know, people in meaning well trying to witness and trying to win people to the Lord will quote scripture to just beat people over the head. And if they're not at a place that they're ready to make that decision and they're not in a receiving mode, you're not going to force them to get there. You need to back off and just have a pleasant time with them. Keep it pleasant so that the next person that comes along, they'll be open to receive. Page 3. Evangelism, this is such a good analogy. This helped me more than anything I've ever heard on witnessing and evangelism. It's like a waiter with a menu. A waiter with a menu is a good example of a Christian sharing about Jesus. They both have the same responsibility to make sure that others have an opportunity to see what's available. A waiter or a waitress in a restaurant is not responsible for what you order.
That's right.
Or how much you spend.
That's right.
All they're responsible to do is come to the table and present you a menu. Why? So you can choose. Uh-huh. Right?
Yep.
Let's look at these scenarios. Here's 3 examples. Number 1, a waitress or a waiter brings the menu to the table. The customer sees the choices and they make their decision to accept the special of the day. The waitress brings the order to the kitchen and the boss is happy with her fulfilling her duties. Consider this. A Christian shares the plan of salvation so that the lost will have an opportunity to see what is available to them. They choose to yield to the drawing of the Lord and they accept Jesus Christ as their Savior. God looks down and he's happy with the Christian for giving the opportunity. Do you see the 2 analogies? Waiter comes to the table. Here's the menu. Here's our special of the day. And the person says, oh, I think I'll have that. Very good. The waiter goes back to the kitchen, turns it in. The owner of the restaurant's happy because she made another sale and satisfied another customer. And then she delivers the order. Number 2, waitress brings the menu to the table. The customers see the choices, but they are not ready to make up their minds. The waitress is in a hurry and pressures the customers in such a way that it upsets them. Come on, I don't have all day. I've got 14 other tables to wait on. Don't you already know what you want? It's not like you haven't been here before. You know, most waitresses wouldn't be that apparent or that straightforward, but sometimes they're kind of subtle, but that you can tell they want you to hurry up, make up your mind. The waitress is in a hurry and pressures the customer in such a way that upsets them. The manager comes over and offers to have another waiter take over their table.
Whoa.
But they don't want to see what the restaurant has to offer. They get up and they leave.
Uh-huh.
They did not reject the food. They did not reject the prices. They rejected the service or the method in which they were given opportunity to make their decision. Do you get that? So a lot of times when people reject, they're not rejecting what's on the menu. They're not rejecting the choice. A lot of times they're rejecting the method that we're presenting it to them when we're trying to strong arm them. The restaurant has lost a customer for life. Okay, let's look at it in the witnessing mode. A Christian shares the plan of salvation so that the lost will have an opportunity to see what's available to them. The person is not ready to make a decision yet, but the Christian begins to pressure them and push them into being ready. They bruise the fruit before it's ready to be harvested. The person rejects the Christian, therefore rejecting the opportunity. Remember, that's what we're called to do, is bring them an opportunity. Depending on how bad they are bruised, they may not ever be open to talking with a Christian again. It is possible that they have missed out on God for eternity. We don't want to do that. Don't bruise the fruit. Okay? Amen. Number three, a waitress brings the menu to the table and the customers review the choices. They then decide that either the prices are too high or they just do not see anything they want on the menu. They explain to the waitress they are not interested in what the menu has to offer, and they leave. The waitress thanks them for coming in and lets them know she hopes that they'll come back another day. See how nice, how cordial, friendly, pleasant. Well, thank y'all for stopping by. I'm glad you came in today. Hope you'll come back another time. They rejected us today. They don't want anything we've got today, but maybe they'll come back another time. The manager sees them leave and is saddened at the lost sale, but he doesn't blame the waitress. She's done what was her responsibility to do. He's pleased with her performance. Do you see that? A Christian shares the plan of salvation, but the lost person is not interested in making that decision at that time and does not wish to discuss it any further. The Christian is saddened, but does not pressure them and goes on to discuss other things like the weather, sports, movies, whatever. You know, keep it light, keep it friendly, keep it pleasant. The Christian has planted a seed and leaves them with a good experience dealing with each other. The lost person has not shut the door on future Christians sharing Jesus with them because this was handled in a good way. The lost person has had a positive experience. God looks down. He's sad that the lost person didn't yield to his drawing, but he's proud of the Christian for giving the opportunity. Remember, what's our responsibility? To give them an opportunity. Because the choice is theirs. You know, I saw a bumper sticker somewhere that said, God is pro-choice.
Amen.
Because he gives all of us the ability to choose. The word says, I put before you this day life and death. But then he tells us what to choose. Choose you, therefore, life, so that you and your seed may live. But if we don't want to choose life, we don't have to. We can choose death. God gives us that free will. That's what separates us from all the other animals and the angels. We have free will. So don't forget that about that unsaved person that you're reaching out to. I don't care how strongly you feel in your heart that God's after them. He is. He wants all men to be saved. But you can't let that enthusiasm or that zeal cause you to mishandle them or bruise the fruit. Don't push it. Okay? All right. It's important that we recognize that it's our responsibility to give opportunity to the lost. We cannot save them. We can't just give them a simple message that anyone can understand. It's important that we don't let fear, pride, a busy schedule, or our preconceived ideas of whether or not they want to hear keep us from giving opportunities. Now, nobody else may be guilty of that, but I sure have been. I'll look at them and size up, well, they don't want to hear it. They. I can tell already just by what I've seen and heard coming out of their mouth, that's the last thing they want to hear. Doesn't matter. It's not our decision to make. We're still responsible to give them an opportunity. Now, am I saying everybody we come in contact with, we're supposed to do this? No. We are smart enough to be sensitive to the Spirit and look for opportunities, look for the promptings of the Spirit, and look for the open door. In most conversations with people, if you're in a relaxed time, they will give you that opportunity in their own conversation, with their own words. They will swing the door wide open for you. We just need to be sensitive enough and smart enough to recognize it and to realize, oh, there's an opening right there. I can turn this conversation into a spiritual conversation and begin to witness to them and test the waters, see how receptive they are. And even if they aren't wide open to it and they don't want to hear it, I've at least given them the opportunity. And then we'll come back to it later. Or God will send somebody else by that they will listen to. Amen?
Amen?
No one should have to miss heaven because someone was too afraid to share Jesus with him or her. Are you 100% sure makes it easy on the Christian to become effective and easy on the lost to have a credible, easy opportunity to accept the free gift of salvation? Listen to this. If you commit to see 1,000 people saved, then you will see failures in trying to obtain that goal. So our goal's not to get a certain number. It's not like putting notches on your belt.
Yeah, exactly.
One more for me. I got another one. We're not keeping a number. It's not a contest. Our goal is not to get a certain number. Our goal, if we commit to give as many opportunities to the lost as possible, then we'll see 100% success in every opportunity given. If our goal is to give opportunity, then every time we give an opportunity, we're successful. Yes. If our goal is to make the sale or to close the deal, which means to get a conversion, to get them to accept Jesus, and we give the opportunity and they reject it, then we walk away feeling like we failed. And that's where I was. That's why I resisted witnessing so much, because more times than not, they rejected the message, or they didn't receive it. They didn't want to hear it, or they didn't pray with me to receive Jesus. And so I walk away feeling like I just can't do this. Everybody else seems to be having results, but I'm not. I felt like a failure. Well, the deal is, it's not about closing the deal or making the sale or getting them to confess Jesus Christ. I mean, that is our ultimate goal, but our number one responsibility, that's not our responsibility. That Holy Spirit, only the Holy Spirit can draw people to make that decision. Our goal, our responsibility, my responsibility, your responsibility is
to
give them an opportunity. What they do with it is their responsibility. It's on their shoulders. Amen? Let's not complicate the gospel any longer, nor let us make the evangelism harder than it's supposed to be. Let's just tell the world the good news and give them a chance to find out what we have found. Amen? Keep it simple. All right, let's look at some of the nuts and bolts of Are You 100% Sure? It uses three questions, three scriptures, and one closing question. And also, I meant to tell you this at the very beginning tonight. I need everybody to pair off with one other person. So you need a partner. So look around you and commit to somebody right now. Go ahead and confess to them, I'll be your partner. Or ask them, will you be my partner? And let's see if we have everybody gets a partner. We got three over here. We need an odd two. Okay, good. He's got one. So everybody have a partner? Is there anybody without a partner? Raise your hand. Who doesn't have a partner back here?
Melvin.
Richard doesn't have one. Melvin, you and Richard can be partners. We got another person without a partner right here. Anybody else without a partner? Okay, I'll be your partner when we get to that time. Aww. Are y'all feeling sorry for her or what? Oh, poor you. All right. How many of you have a photographic memory? Very few of us do. However, it has been found in studies that when we see pictures of things or we imagine pictures of things, have you seen these guys who can remember 1,000 people's first names and say them in the order in which you introduced them to them? What they do is they associate something, a mental image with that person, with that person's name or with that person's face. So it's a mental image type thing. Well, this kind of does the same thing. How many of you are concerned I'm going to forget what to say? Once I start witnessing, I'm going to forget what I'm supposed to say. And I don't know what to say. Well, this is going to help you with that. I'm going to give you some pictures and just concentrate on the pictures, okay? And they're in your notes and you're going to see them on the screen. The first one. Imagine if all of a sudden through the wall burst a casket. And on the side of the casket, somebody has spray painted, Are You 100% Sure? Just burst right through the wall and comes up here and lands right here. Would you remember that if that happened? Okay, I want you to think about that casket right now. There's a casket with Are You 100% Sure written on the side of it. Everybody got that image? All right, the next picture you'll see is a picture of a person standing before the Lord. Suppose that dead man in the casket got up out of the casket and started walking and he bumped into something and it was Jesus. And Jesus is wearing a sandwich board that says, why? And question marks all over it. Jesus is standing there and this person is standing before Jesus and Jesus is saying, why? All right, the next picture you see is a huge can, coffee can. And it has an eyeball on it. And on top of the coffee can are telephones. And in your vision, you run and you jump up and you touch the top of the can, next slide, and you make it fall over. And out falls the telephones and Bibles. The Word. Okay? There's your four pictures right there. Easy to remember, right? Can y'all remember those? Let's look at them one more time. What's the next slide, brother? Because I forgot. Yeah, let's do them again. The first thing is the casket. Are you 100% sure? That is going to help you remember your first question. Are you 100% sure if you died today, you'd go to heaven? Here's an interesting statistic, by the way. I heard this. You are part of it. Every one of you in this room, and whoever you're witnessing to, you can tell them, you're part of this statistic I'm about to tell you. Every professional, every expert, every scientist, every theologian, they all agree. Can you believe that? They all agree on this statistic. 10, that is a miracle. 10 out of 10. 10 out of 10 people will die. And you are part of that statistic. Everybody's going to die. When you die, are you 100% sure you'll go to heaven? Next picture. If you were to stand before Jesus today, and he said to you, why should I let you into heaven? Why should I let you into my kingdom? What would you say? Doesn't matter what their response is. Doesn't matter what they say. You're going to go on to the next one. Next slide. It's a big can. Can I tell you what the Bible says? Can I tell you what the Bible says? And regardless of what they say, you're going to go on very quickly, unless they really get adamant. You know, most people are going to say, if you get this far, they're going to probably amuse you or appease you and say, sure. You know, can I tell you what the Bible says? That's your last question. And then you're going to use there's three simple questions. Are you 100% sure if you died today you'd go to heaven? And you're going to get all kinds of different responses. The only response that would warrant you stopping is if they said, yes, I am born again. I know Jesus. I am full of God. Because it's not your place to judge if that's true or not. You can't know that or not. You can't see their heart. If they confess that they know Jesus and they've received him as their Lord and Savior, you stop. Right there. But if they say, I think so, I hope so, well, no, I don't really know. Or if they say something like, well, I don't even know if there really is a heaven or hell. Because that's where a lot of people are. Yep. They don't really believe that there is a heaven or hell. They'll say, I remember one guy said, hell is right now. I'm living in hell. You want to talk about hell? I'm already in hell. Exactly. And anything, any responses like that, you don't get off course. Okay, yeah, I hear you. That's okay. You keep going. You have to stay in control of the conversation. You go on to your next point. Well, can I tell you what the Bible, no matter what he says, can I tell you what the Bible says? Why do we want to get to that? Because the truth is what's going to set them free. The truth they know. The truth they hear and receive and act on. So can I tell you what the Bible says? All right, everybody got it? Do we need to go through those pictures one more time? Can we back up to the first picture? Question number one, the casket comes out. Are you 100% sure? You can write these down underneath your pictures. Are you 100% sure if you died right now, you would go to heaven? Now, we read the scripture already. Can we be 100% sure? Yes, we can. He said, I've spoken these words so that you can know that you have eternal life. All right, the next slide. That man is, the question is, if you were standing before Jesus and he said, why should I let you into my kingdom? Or why should I let you into heaven? What would you say? And here's some typical responses. Well, I've been a good person. Mm-hmm. I went to church. I was baptized when I was a child or christened. My parents dedicated me to Jesus when I was a baby. And all the different beliefs that people have that they're okay with God. And it will be varied. It'll be all kinds of different things. We all know the only one answer that's legitimate is Jesus. There's only one way. Jesus said, I am the way. I don't care what Oprah says or anybody else says. There's not many paths that lead to God or a higher being. There is one way. There's one door. His name is Jesus. And the word says that we no other way can we come to the Father except by him. Okay? So if they say anything besides, if they say, if you ask them, if you were standing before Jesus, he said, why should I let you into my kingdom? What would you say? And they say, well, because I know Jesus as my Lord and Savior. Amen. Well, bingo, that's it. If they say anything besides that, you go on. Mm-hmm. And the next question is, can I tell you what the Bible says? Can I tell you what the Bible says? And very quickly, you're ready to start. Okay, those are the three questions. Now let's get to the verses. We've got three simple Bible verses. Now let me say this. You don't need to pull out a huge, giant family King James. I actually discourage people from even quoting the source. Unless the person you're dealing with and the person, but already you can tell they're churchy. They've been in church a lot and they know a lot. Because you'll be surprised. I mean, some of the most heathen acting and looking and talking folks will start quoting scripture to you. Well, then they've been in it. They know. Then with that person, you need to tell them where it is. You need to know where it is in the Bible. You need to be able to say Romans 3:23. But if you're not dealing with that kind of person, you don't really have to quote the verse per se. You don't really need, I think it's more effective if you don't. You know, if you don't quote the verse, but you just put it in your own words. Or if you don't even tell them where it's found. Now, if they say, where is that in the Bible? Then you need to know it. And we can all learn three passages of scripture. Amen? Can I tell you what the Bible says? All right. Now, look at the note that I have there under question number three. Can I tell you what the Bible says? This is a simple question that really does not require an answer. I don't really care what they're going to say. I'm going to give it to them anyway. Unless they're so adamant and I see the color red, then I'm going to stop. You just simply start sharing the scriptures below. Also, please note that you are not quoting scriptures to them, nor are we giving you incomplete scriptures. What you're doing with these scriptures is simply telling them what the Bible says and where it says it. The first scripture is Romans 3:23, all have sinned. You might say, we've all sinned. It means we've all lied or cheated or stolen or done things like that. I know I've done wrong things before. How about you? See? So you don't have to say, Romans 3:23 says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Come short of the glory? What does that mean?
Yeah, really.
Come short of the glory. What is glory? An unchurched person doesn't have the foggiest idea what you're talking about.
Exactly.
Come short of the glory of God. So what you can simply say is, hey, we've all missed it. We've all messed up. We've all done things that we knew were wrong. We've all either stolen or lied or cheated. I know I have. How about you? Right? Be quick to put yourself in there because you know what you were.
Yep.
Amen?
Amen.
The next scripture is Romans 6:23, where we want to bring to their attention that the payment for sin is hell. You can simply say that. The payment for our sin is hell. Wow, that's bad news, isn't it? The payment for our sin, the payment for our doing wrong is hell. And that's probably when they'll say, yeah, I'm in it right now. I'm in hell right now. Well, don't you want to get out? Would you like to change that? And then the third scripture is Romans 10:13 that says, whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. It doesn't say whoever joins a church, whoever is water baptized. Doesn't say whoever keeps all the Ten Commandments and never misses it. It says whoever calls on the name of the Lord. And we also know from scripture, the word says, whoever believes in their heart and confesses with their mouth shall be saved. All right? They've got to believe in their heart that Jesus is the Son of God and that God raised him from the dead. That he did die for our sins and God did raise him from the dead. Believe that in your heart and confess it with your mouth. then they're going to be saved. It's not about a feeling. They don't have to feel something. They say, well, I don't feel different. That's fine. If you don't feel anything, that's fine. See, too many times we equate the goosebumps and the presence of God with it being God or not. Because we know what the presence of God feels like, right? Amen. We've experienced it. And so when we're witnessing or we're leading somebody and they pray and we don't feel anything, we start thinking they didn't really mean it. Nothing really happened. They didn't get it. And it's not about a feeling. The word doesn't say you'll feel it. It says if you believe in your heart and confess with your mouth, you'll be saved.
That's right.
Amen? We complicate it and make it hard. Keep it simple and believe what the word says. And here's the clincher. You can't know whether they believe in their heart or not.
Right.
We can't see their heart. Only God can.
That's right.
But the Bible does say out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks.
Yeah.
And I find it hard to believe that a person who's willing to confess with their mouth is not really believing in their heart.
Right.
To whatever degree they can believe, they have the measure of faith. Every man's been given the measure of faith. Their faith may not be where yours is, but they're just new babes. They're just getting started. Amen?
Amen.
Excuse me. So as they grow, that will increase. Now, I put it in some other words that might make it even easier. Where you don't quote a scripture, and you say, can I tell you what the Bible says? We've all done wrong. We've all missed it. You have and I have. And what we deserve for having missed it and having done wrong is to go to hell. But we get to go to heaven if we ask.
Amen.
That's it in a nutshell right there. That is the good news of the gospel.
Yeah.
We've all done wrong. We deserve hell for our wrong. But we get to go to heaven if we ask.
Amen.
That's the good news of the gospel. That all three of those statements are truth based on the word of God. But it didn't sound churchy or like I was preaching. I didn't quote a Bible verse, but it's based on a Bible verse. It's still true. Amen?
Yep.
All right, is everybody getting that? What's the first question?
Are you 100% sure?
Are you 100% sure if you died today you would
go to heaven?
Question number two. If you were standing before Jesus today, and he asked you, why should I let you into my heaven? What would you say? And it doesn't matter what they say. You're going to give them time to say something just to kind of locate them, see where they are. But then regardless of what they say, your next question is,
can I tell you
what the Bible says? Well, what does the Bible say? Yeah, tell me.
We've all sinned.
We've all missed it. We've all done stuff wrong. I have and you have.
Yep.
And number two? And the payment for our wrongdoing is hell. We deserve to go to hell. But we get to go to heaven if we ask. That's it. Isn't that simple?
That is simple.
Is that, could it be that simple?
Yes.
Is it really that simple?
Yes.
To get born again?
Yes.
All we have to do is confess and ask. Okay, let's turn the page. I think we already passed a practice session, didn't we? I wasn't paying attention to the, yeah. Here's the closing question. This is the clincher. And this final question is the one thing that sets are you 100% sure apart from any other method of evangelism that's out there. Because this question really closes the deal. It brings them to a place of decision. No one really wants to go to hell. No one really wants to go to hell. So this is one area that you cannot change. This is a question you can't skip. You can't leave it out. Don't pass by it. You got to ask this question. Regardless of what their other answers were to the other three questions, the final question is there any reason why you'd want to spend eternity in hell? What's the reason you want to go to hell? Is there any reason why you'd want to spend eternity in hell? Because who can answer that? Who could really say, well, yeah, who would do that? Is there any reason why you'd want to spend eternity in hell? What do you think most people's response is going to be?
I want to be with my
friends.
Yeah.
I want to be with my friends. In hell?
Yeah. That's where the party's at.
Misery loves company.
I've heard that a lot in prison. You take them to John 15:24. It says, yeah, there are people there, but they ain't having a party.
That's right. They're tormented in this fire.
You let them know it's not going to be fun if they do.
Exactly. And here again, you're going to get all kinds of things like that. And what I would encourage everybody to do as you're just starting with this and start getting comfortable with this method and using it is if you have a hard case like that and somebody that comes back with something that catches you off guard, is just try to get through it and not be confrontational. If you are such that you can handle their question or their comment and you know where to go with it, then go with it. I mean, we all have the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit knows what to say. If you'll just open your mouth and be sensitive to the Spirit, you'll do okay. But if you get nervous or you get defensive because of their response, then it's not going to be good. It won't go well, and you'll bruise the fruit. So the main thing is, remember, it doesn't matter that a response. Your responsibility is to give them the opportunity. And you're just giving the opportunity. It's like I'm a waiter just bringing the menu to the table. The decision is yours. Here's the menu. Here's your choice. And if they say, well, I want to be with my friends, well, that's their choice. They can go to hell with their friends if they want to.
How do you know
their
friends are in
hell? Well, that's what, if their response was, is there any reason why you would want to spend eternity in hell? She said, well, if their response is, yeah, I want to be with my friends. So they're assuming their friends are going to hell. I didn't. They did by their response. I probably would say something like, God's probably dealing with your friends right now. Or God's going to use you to win your friends. Instead of letting them take you to hell, why don't you take them to heaven with you? You could be the first one. Are they really your friends? How close are you to them, you know?
If you really love them.
That's right. So God wants your friends to go to heaven too. That's why he's got me. He sent me today to talk to you. Because he wants you to choose so you can then go tell your friends. And you take your friends. Somebody over here had their hand up.
And that goes back to what Pastor Clay was saying 2 weeks ago, too. If they go to rejecting you, that should be a key flag in your head that they're going through rejection themselves. You can take a few minutes to minister to them and show them the love of God and then reroute back right when you are.
Okay, amen. Somebody over here had their hand up. That's true. They don't. And in that case, you're done. You've given them the opportunity. They've chosen to continue in their unbelief. You're done. Now you want to change the subject, get it back to, boy, this weather sure is crazy, isn't it? Or how about those, you tell I don't watch any games. How about those, whatever you talk about with that person or whatever, but change the subject, get it back to a light thing. So that when you leave them, it's a I'm okay and you're okay feeling. They don't walk away feeling like you've rejected them because they rejected you. You want to keep the bridge open because the day may come that they'll call you because they know now you're a believer. They know now you know the word. They know now you know how to pray. And the day may come where they say, hey, Carol, you know, I told you I wasn't interested, but, you know, I got this deal going on now. I wonder, can you help me? Mm-hmm. That happens. People change their mind.
Yep.
We just sow the seed, water the seed, don't bruise the fruit. Okay, let's get on with our notes here. So, the final question is there any reason why you want to spend eternity in hell? Hopefully they're going to say, well, no. And you're going to say, great, pray this prayer with me. Don't ask. This is not a question. You don't ask, can I pray with you? Or would you like to pray? Not a question. Do not ask. You say. You command. Like Jesus commanded them. Jesus commanded them saying. You're going to command them saying, great, pray this prayer with me. And you close your eyes and you start praying right away. Right away. Don't give them a chance to back out and say, well, we're in a public place. Or what will people think? Doesn't matter. This is a soul. This is eternity. So great, pray this prayer with me. And you pray. And the prayer needs to be simple. You know, don't make it long. Don't pray for Paul and Silas and the church and the weather and the president and the nations and Israel and the war. Don't pray for their finances. Don't pray for the Cowboys. The prayer is simple. Jesus, I ask you to be my Savior and Lord. Forgive me of my sins and give me the gift of eternal life.
Amen.
The end. Jesus, I ask you to be my Savior and Lord. Forgive me of my sins and give me the gift of eternal life. Because if they will say that, if they'll repeat that, they're confessing Jesus. If a man believes in his heart and confesses with his mouth, he shall be saved. He's saying, I want you to be my Savior and my Lord. He's admitting, he's confessing, he believes on the Son of Jesus, or he wouldn't be asking Jesus to do this. All right? So you don't have to say, do you believe Jesus is the Son of God? Do you believe Jesus died on the cross? Do you believe Jesus was raised from the dead? You know, he is saying that if he will pray this prayer.
Amen.
He's saying that. He's saying he believes it by saying this prayer. Jesus, I ask you to be my Savior and Lord. Forgive me of my sins and give me the free gift of eternal life. That's easy. That's simple.
Amen.
I do. I'd say repeat after me. Because they need to pray it. It's them that's praying. You're just helping them to know what to pray. Because they don't know what to pray probably. And if they start praying and say more, then you'd be quiet and listen. And enjoy that.
Amen.
You know, that'd be an unusual thing probably. But it could happen. Especially if it's somebody who has been born again. And knows the Lord Jesus. And has been in a backslidden condition. And they're coming back to God. You know, it's like a dam just opens. And they may just start, you know, weeping and praying and saying stuff, but that's fine. But you keep it simple. That prayer right there is short and sweet and to the point, and it's effective. Question or comment? They might, and he's saying, what if you get somebody who's really just going along with you, they're kind of appeasing you because they're really in a rush and they know the only way they're going to get out of this is just to go through the motions and get away from you as quickly as possible, and so they're just going along. That's fine. That's fine. Go ahead and do it. Go ahead and do it. Don't deliberately slow them down if you can tell they're in a hurry. This is designed to be quick and in a hurry. The point is the seed is still being planted. Whether they meant it or not, whether they were sincere or not, is not our responsibility. It's not for me to know. If they weren't serious and they really didn't mean it, God will still take that seed. He will still take those words they heard today, the truth of the word, and during the night, talk to them. During the day, talk to them. The Holy Spirit will use that. We've given them something, the Holy Spirit, something to use in that person. It's still a good seed sown. So you still go through it. Go through it all the way through it to the end. Exactly. 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 And the Holy Spirit will use, that's why the Holy Spirit wants us to have those gifts. Because when we use those gifts, the gifts of the Spirit, in witnessing, it becomes so much more powerful. But I don't want anybody who doesn't know they have the gift and doesn't know how to operate in those gifts, in those spiritual gifts, to not be witnesses. You can be a witness using this method and this tool without flowing in those gifts. But I agree 100%. One of the hardest things for me to learn was to believe what I was hearing and be bold enough to say it. When I had in Mississippi, I owned a produce business. And one day I was there working and this truck pulled up and the guy got out and there was a lady in the truck. And I heard she has lupus. I don't know these people from anybody. They just pulled up and it's like I knew the Lord was telling me this lady has lupus and he wants me to go over there and minister to her and pray for her. And I'm wrestling with this in my head. Because what if that's not true? If I go over there and say, you have lupus and God wants me to pray for you. And she says, no, I don't. Then what am I going to do? Won't I look stupid? You know what that is? P-R-I-D-E. And I was prideful, and I didn't do it. And so the husband is, or the man that's with her, he shops and buys all the stuff, and I'm ringing him up, and we're just talking, and he said, yeah, I just got mom out of the hospital. They diagnosed her with lupus.
Oh, my God. Whoa.
And, of course, right away, I'm grieved in my heart. I've missed God. And then I started witnessing to him, and I asked, could I go over and pray for her? I still went over and prayed for her. But do you think it was as effective as it would have been had I just walked up out of the blue and said, the Lord sent me over here to pray for you because you have lupus and he wants to heal you. And nobody had told me. And they knew there was no way in the natural for me to know that information. Wow. See, that's what gets people's attention. I was going through a drive-thru at a Dairy Queen or somewhere one time, and I'm sitting in line, and I'm watching the lady that's passing the stuff out, and I heard the Lord say, tell her Barbara's coming home. I'm like, okay. And this is one time I did obey. She gave me my food. I gave her my money. I got my change. And I said, the Lord told me to tell you Barbara's coming home. She started bawling. Barbara was her daughter. She hadn't seen in 7 years. Hadn't heard from her. Hadn't seen her. She said, you know Barbara? I said, no, but God does. And God said to tell you she's coming home. See, that's what God wants to do with us. But we've got to learn how to listen and be quick to obey and not get in our stupid heads and reason, what if it's wrong? What if I miss it? Well, you might miss it sometime. But I think it's better to miss it trying to be obedient than to miss it by being disobedient. So, where were we? Final instructions. Once you've completed this with them, you've prayed, you need to give them some final instructions. They need to do four things. They need to read and pray. They need to read and pray every day. Read their Bible every day and pray. They need to get involved in a good local church. And where am I? You need to pray every day. You need to read your Bible every day. You need to get involved in a good local church. Actually, three things here. I think the little track that I printed for you actually has the fourth one. Which is be water baptized. Although we don't teach that you have to be water baptized to be saved, it is still scriptural to be water baptized. And you still want to encourage them to be water baptized. So that's why I put it in the track that I printed for you. So there's actually four things. Our notes here just say three things. And then if they don't know where a good church is or they don't know anything about a church, you definitely can invite them to our church. Say, I know a good local church. Amen. And I'd love to have you come visit with us. We meet on Sunday mornings at 10:30. We meet on Wednesday nights at 7. We'll actually feed you dinner. I want you to be my guest for dinner Wednesday night. And you pay for their dinner. Bring them at 5:30 on Wednesday night and bring them to church. Amen? But like I said earlier, our goal is not to get people to come to our church. Our goal is to get people into the kingdom of God. If we'll start adding souls to the kingdom, God will see to it this house gets full. Amen? Amen. Amen. Although I believe a lot of the people we do win to the Lord are going to be members of our church. Because they're going to be drawn to you. They're going to be in love with you because you took time to give them the good news that changed their life. That turned their life upside down. Amen? All right. So once you finish praying with them, you could ask them simply this. Did you mean that prayer? Did you mean it? Okay, great. I'm so glad. You're born again now. You're 100% sure now you're going to heaven. You can be. If you meant that prayer and you prayed it according to the word of God, you are saved and you are going to heaven. Amen. Now, you need to do these three things. You really need to get involved in a good local church. You need to read your Bible and pray every day. Amen? Amen. And be water baptized. So four things. I need to quit saying three. It's four things. And get water baptized. And if they want to know more, they ask you questions, they're open to receiving more instruction. You go that way. But don't start teaching and preaching to them about faith and prosperity and getting healed and divine healing and the gifts of the Spirit and praying in tongues and all of that stuff that has taken us years to learn. And we want to just dump it all on them in one time like a big bucket of ice water. Don't do that. Let them enjoy just being, you know, like children. Let them enjoy being a child. Let them enjoy just being born again without starting to dump a bunch of heavy stuff on them. Amen? All right, our response, here's the response to all sidetracking questions. Because like I said, you're going to get all kinds of responses that are kind of take you off target and get you off the subject. You've got to learn no matter what they say. You're listening, but you're not going to respond to it except with one answer, and here it is. That's a good question. I'll get back to it in a minute. Now, can I tell you what the Bible has to say? You know, whatever. If you're at question number one, are you 100% sure if you were to die today, you'd go to heaven? And they say, well, I'm not even sure there is a heaven or hell. Well, that's a good point. I'll get back to that in a minute. If you were to stand before Jesus today and he asked you, why should I let you into my heaven? What would you say? Well, man, I told you, I don't know if there is a heaven or hell. You know, here's a good little thing about that is, okay, for argument's sake, I don't like to use the word argument, but for discussion's sake, let's say the Word of God is right, and there is a heaven and a hell, and you are wrong. If there is, if you're right, we both have nothing to worry about. But if the Word of God is right, you're in a heap of trouble. Right?
Yep.
I mean, you want to get them to see that without having to say it. You can say it that way, that, you know, if the Bible is right and there is a heaven and there is a hell, kind of look at them like, or where does that leave you? What you going to do then? You know, and the light bulb will go on all of a sudden. They'll say, yeah, I might be up the creek without a paddle. That might be right. If you're right, neither one of us have anything to worry about. We're both okay. But if what I believe is right and what the Word, I don't like to say what I believe, because we don't want it to be an argument that what I believe is right and what you believe is wrong. It's what the Word says. This is what the Word says. Can I tell you what the Word says? And that's why we want to get right to that Word. Can I tell you what the Word says? The Word says we've all missed it. We've all done wrong. I've done it. You've done it. And the punishment for our sin and our doing wrong is hell. We deserve to go to hell. But we get to go to heaven if we ask. Now, is there any reason why you'd want to go to hell? Any reason why you'd want to go to hell? Great. Pray this prayer with me. So you've led them from where they are to a place of prayer in a matter of seconds, minutes. It can be quick, non-confrontational, simple, and effective. Question, comment. Uh-huh. Exactly. Servants. Exactly. No big I's and little U's in the kingdom of God.
Amen.
And the ground is level at the foot of the cross.
Yes.
We all kneel there. Another thing, if you noticed, I bolded the first part of each of those three statements about the waiter. A waitress brings the menu to the table. All three scenarios start with a waitress brings the menu to the table. All three scenarios end differently, but they all start the same. They all start with the person giving them an opportunity. That's our goal. Just give them the opportunity to choose. Bring it to their attention again. Make their mind think about it. Even if they reject it today, when they go home tonight, they're not going to be able to sleep because they're going to be thinking, oh, what if that girl was right? What if there is a hell? Oh, my God, what am I going to do? You know, God, the Holy Spirit knows how to work with that seed that you've planted. It's still seed planted. And if you left it in a good way, with a good feeling, then the Holy Spirit can better work with it. But if you argue with them and try to preach down to them and bring condemnation on them and tell them they're a fool for rejecting God and they're going to bust hell wide open, turn or burn, baby, and all that junk, then they're going to be so resistant to the Holy Spirit or anybody who begins to try to witness to them. So don't bruise the fruit. Somebody else had their hand up. Quick. Yes, that's also, I think, in the notes. I didn't get down to that part, but you should, when you talk about encouraging them to read the Word, this is all I say is don't ask them if they have one if you're not going to be prepared to get them one.
That's right.
You know, do you have a Bible? No. Well, I'll pray for you. No. If you're going to ask them if they have a Bible, and you should probably, but if you ask them and they say no, then you need to take the responsibility to get them one. Say, I'll get you one. I'll get you one if you'll give me your phone number. Give me your phone number so I can call you when I get it. I don't have it with me right now, but I'll call you when I get it. You know, I don't know if we have paperbacks in the bookstore, but we can get them. I have bought cases of Bibles at the 99-cent store because you can get a whole paperback Bible for 99 cents. And I bought every one they had one time and just to have to give away to people. I mean, it's inexpensive. I know it's cheap, but if they don't have one, you know, beggars can't be choosy, right? But you're still giving them a copy of it. Mm-hmm. Question, comment over here.
I approached someone a few weeks ago and started telling them about our church and about the Lord. And he used to go to church all the time. And the first thing that he said in response to what I told him was, yeah, and they all ask for money.
Oh, they want your money, yeah. And there again, we're not trying to win people to church. It's not about church. You don't even mention your church until the end after they've prayed and you're telling them they need to get involved in a good church. And then if they say, well, I don't really know of one. That's when you say, well, I do.
Right.
We're not pushing our church. We're not promoting our church. We're promoting Jesus Christ, the kingdom of God. Get them born again. If they know and they find out how much you care about them, they're going to be open to any suggestions you have about church. And it could be they already have a connection to a church they were raised in, or they have family members and parents that have been praying for years for them to come back to Jesus that are in a good church. You know, that may be where they gravitate, you know. The Bible says that God has planted us in the body of Christ where it pleases Him.
Amen.
So that's not our decision. God knows where it pleases Him for that person to be. And if it is to be here, then they'll come here. But again, we're not going to force them or coerce them or make them feel guilty if they don't. You know, none of that manipulation stuff. We just put it out there, let them choose. All right. What time is it? Oh, my goodness. We've got to practice a little bit of this. That's why we're going to do the pair things. We're going to take turns. One of you be the witnessing person. The other one be the lost, unsaved person. And practice your three questions and three scriptures and final question. To get it in you to where you don't need to read it. Because this has got to come naturally. Hey, are you 100% sure if you died today you'd go to heaven? If you were to stand before Jesus tonight and He asked you, why should I let you into my heaven? What would you say? You're a good person? Well, can I tell you what the Bible says? The Bible says we've all missed it. We've all messed up. We've all done wrong. You have. I have. And we all deserve punishment for our sin or for doing wrong, which is hell. But we don't have to go to hell. We get to go to heaven if we ask. Is there any reason why you'd want to go to hell? Great. Pray this prayer with me. Just like that. Okay? Pair off. If y'all want to spread out some so that you're not on top of each other, you can. Move around in the sanctuary and go through the steps with each other. If you have to use your notes the first time through, that's okay, but try to do it without your notes once. Remember those pictures. Wait a minute, where you get one? You the witness in person?
Yeah.
Where was that a part about would you like to give your life? Was that one of the questions?
Number one, I want her to know that Jesus loved her.
You are letting her know by witnessing to her.
Wait a minute, I just want to give her, you know, I want to make it, you know, kind of make it easy to easy.
Okay. Try to stick to the script. Stay on the right questions. it? Or do we need to switch? If you haven't switched yet, go ahead and switch and let the other person go have a go at it. And this week, I let y'all pair off with who you wanted to. Next week, I'm going to assign you to a person because you're too comfortable with each other. You need to be with somebody you're not so comfortable with.
When do we get to go pick Tom
Strong? When you leave here. Oh, the sinner had to remind you to pray. Okay, how we doing? Everybody born again now? Take 2 more minutes. Wrap it up. Do you want to give everybody one of those? Please, sir. Randy's coming around with a basket with what looks like books. You take one book. Everybody can get one book. And what you're going to find is it's actually not a book. It's a group of tracts that you just need to separate. They just are folded together. You want to separate them and, you know, press down on the crease a little bit. So you have seven or eight tracts, which you can use when you're doing this spiel, or you can leave with someone if you don't, you know, if you're in a situation where you don't really have time or the atmosphere is not conducive, especially if you're at a restaurant, waitress or waiter. And let everybody finish and come to a stopping place. I don't want to feel like I'm yelling over everybody. Okay, can we go ahead and stop where we are, please, and come on back to your seats? We need to wrap it up. We're going to give you opportunity to do more of this next week, as well as we're going to look at a couple of other methods. But I want to really encourage you and exhort you to try to put this into practice and use it this week. Ask the Lord for opportunity, and then when opportunity presents itself, jump on it. How many of you feel confident already that you could use this method? Amen. Without a question, you know you can do it. Okay? Is there anybody who feels a little unsure? Could you tell me what about it are you unsure? Don't be afraid to speak up. Not having it remembered what? I didn't hear you. Oh, yeah. That's why we practiced it tonight, and we'll practice it again next week. You can stand in front of the mirror and practice it. Say it over and over in your head. Remember those pictures I showed you? Those will help you remember the questions. What was the first one? Casket, are you 100% sure? If you were to stand before Jesus and he said, why should I let you into heaven? Can I tell you what the Bible says? Not what I think, what the church says. What does the Bible say? Hold on, question. Okay.
If you are a professional, you know, person that witnesses all the time for you, you still have to use the spirit?
No. That's a good question. The question was, if you're already a professional witnesser or witnessing person, and you're already comfortable witnessing, and you're a professional at it, and you're winning people to the Lord right and left, do you have to use this script? No. This is just a method to help people begin to do witnessing or to be a witness. Not to do witnessing, but to be a witness. It's just a tool. And my goal is to present more than one method or style so that everybody finds one that they're comfortable with. This is the only one I've been the most comfortable with because it's so easy, it's so simple, and it's short. And we complicate the gospel. We complicate the whole deal. It really is simple. It's so simple, it's confounding. Is that possible? Yeah. Sorry. Wow. Thank you. Well, we need some professional proofers up here during the time we're putting this stuff together. If you knew how fast I put this together today. Okay, the first question says, if you were to die today, do you know you would to heaven instead of go to heaven? So you might want to correct that with your black pen when you get home before you give them out. And if you find very many more mistakes in them, don't give them out. We'll just redo them. I hate that. I'm so sorry. That's what I said. You can use this when you're witnessing to a person or after you've already witnessed to them because it has more scriptures on the opposite page. It has some more scriptures. And another thing is if they're looking for a church, it's got our church information on the backside. It's got our church website. It's got our phone number. It's got our physical address. So that will help them to know how to find us. And where it's got our church service times. So if you pray with somebody and they're open and they say, when you say, you know, you need to go, you need to find a good church and get involved and attend regularly, not faithfully, because they may not know what the word faithfully means, but regularly they probably do. And if they say, well, I don't really know a good church or I'm not sure where I would go or, you know, that's when you recommend, well, I know a really good one. Somebody over here had their hand up. Hold on, guys. I can't hear him.
I came up with a scenario where I was asking them a question, and bang, they came out with something very personal. And how do you fit the question into that? You have to work way back around to...
Exactly. Exactly.
Take a little bit of time.
Exactly. Yes. And that's the thing. If something like that opens up, hey, that's...